We have two scripture readings today. The first one is selected verses from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Do we have a reader for the second? We just did. Good. Thank you. The readings, as you can see, are from the first book of the Bible, A Good Beginning, and from the last book of the Bible, A Good Ending. So listen for the word of the Lord. I'm going to just skim through some of this first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let there be an expanse between waters to separate water from water." And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let dry ground appear." And God said, "Let the land produce vegetation." And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night." And God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds." God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
The second reading is from Revelations 22, 1 through 5. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." This is a reading of God's word.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. The first creation and the second creation. Let us pray. Oh God, your word is a light unto our path, a lamp to our feet that guides and directs our living. And so may your word come alive this day in the proclaiming and hearing and doing of your word once again. In Jesus' name, amen. His name is N. T. Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T. His friends call him Tom. Isn't that a good name? He is, most people would say, I would agree, that he is the preeminent. That's a big word, isn't it? Shall I just find, do you know what I mean by preeminent? Yeah, you do. He's top dog. He's the preeminent New Testament scholar in the English-speaking world. He's British. He has been a pastor. He has been a bishop of the Church of England. He's been a professor. He's written so many books you can't even count. But there was one book that he wrote that caught my eye. It was a book about the resurrection. I read every word. N.T. Wright, Tom Wright says that basically when we look at the New Testament, most of us have got the geography wrong. And by that he means, as he reads the New Testament, it's not a matter of our going up to heaven. Wright says, as he reads the New Testament, heaven comes down to earth. That promise, you know, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And N.T. Wright says, it's this new earth. And we will be a part of this new earth. I sort of like that. I don't know if I've got my geography right or wrong, but to have a perfect body in a perfect world and a creation in harmony. Yeah, some of us don't want to leave this beautiful world, do we? It is so beautiful. Wouldn't it be wonderful, I guess, if it's perfected and we get to enjoy it forever? Sometimes when I'm out and I'm in nature, I'm in God's world, I look over grass and tree and river, hill and sky. Usually I've got a golf club in my hand, but not always, but usually when I'm doing that. And I have to stop. And my heart says, oh God, it's so beautiful. God created a beautiful creation. And even the great atheist, whose name you might know, but it doesn't matter, this great atheist who everyone still reads, every college student still picks up this book and reads, but he's an atheist. And he said, autumn is a second spring where every leaf is a flower. Well, if an atheist can see the glory of God like that, how much more do you see this great creation, this wonderful planet and all that God has created, how much more do you see God's glory? The glory is given up. The glory is revealed. And every time you see a leaf, you see a flower. Every time you see a rainbow, you see a promise. Every time you see the sun set and the sun rise, you see the assurance of God's care for the creation. It's there to see. Someone said, heaven is just getting a new pair of glasses. You see glory. You see God's handiwork. You see God's goodness. The testimony is everywhere in God's beautiful creation. And thankfully, we get to see that. Even we don't have to be good first. We don't have to first be good and then we can see, because the great promise of the gospel is that God allows us to see it as we are, where our lives, with all of our mess. We have messy lives, don't we? The lives. All the things that we have failed to do, that we know we should have, all of the people that we should have loved, that we failed to love, all the decisions that were made for all of the wrong reasons, all of this messiness. We confessed our sins this morning, didn't we? Didn't we read that together? We confessed. You did that last week, didn't you? And you did it this week, and you're going to do it again next week. Our lives have this messiness to them, and there's a sense of ugliness and things that we know are not right. There's a shadow that causes us to do things we wish we would not do, but we do them anyway. And God takes us in our messiness, does a new thing, gives us eyes to see. Messiness really is the story of the scriptures in creation. When was this first written? This. In the beginning, God. When did that first enter the world? I can assure you that it was not on some lovely fall day where the sun was shining and the leaves were turning and the birds were singing and lovers were gazing into each other's eyes. This is important. This you and I need to know. When the words, in the beginning, God, was formed, written by people of faith, it was a messy, it was awful time. It was a time in which, if you know your biblical story, the armies of Babylon had marched in to Israel. The armies of Babylon had conquered the people. The armies of Babylon had destroyed the temple, God's holy place where people came to experience God's holiness and goodness. The temple was left not one stone standing upon the other. And all of the walls that surrounded the city were crushed, and the people were taken captive. They were marched hundreds of miles away into a foreign land. Does that sound like a beautiful morning to you? Does that sound like a time of hope, goodness, celebration, joy? That psalm tells us what that was like, where the psalmist says, When we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There we sat down and wept. It was a time of tears. It was a time of destruction. It was a terrible time. And then, of course, what kind of faith could they have? Where were the promises of God? They used to sit around and tell stories around the fire at night about the great patriarchs and their faith. Stories of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They used to celebrate Passover, in which they celebrated the fact that when they were right at the point of death and destruction, God opens the waters and people go through into freedom. It's finished. No more stories to tell. The temple has been destroyed. The people have been taken into captivity. But one of the psalmists raises the voice to the captives there who are gathering around and sing us a song of Zion. Can you hear the reproach? The arrogance the Babylonian gods had won. The God of Israel had lost. Sing us a song of Zion. And the people said, we can't sing. Our song is gone. We've hung our harps on the willow trees. There's no song left in our hearts. There's no faith left. It's too dark. We've suffered too much. There is no hope left. It was at this moment, you see, when a group of people, faithful people, gather together and begin to form a story. In this dark moment, in this moment of defeat and tears and anguish and pain and loss and shame. And this is how the story begins. In the beginning, God. It was a call back to faith. The outward circumstances cannot be believed. Because there is a power at work in the world and in our lives that says that regardless of what the outward circumstances tell us, the inward reality witnesses to a power that the world cannot defeat, destroy, or interrupt, or halt. The purposes of God are at work in the world. And of course, personally, we yearn to know that as well. Because the outward circumstances of our lives will often be dark. The outward circumstances of our lives will often tell us we're at a dead end. There's not another step that we can take. The outer circumstances of our lives sometimes spell defeat and anguish and pain and tears. But those who gathered in Babylon in prayer and discernment said, in the beginning, God. Don't hang your harps on the willow trees. You have a song that needs to be sung. You have joy that needs to be expressed. That regardless of what the outward circumstances of our lives might say, we witness, we believe, we hold fast to the God who is at work and who cannot be defeated. His will cannot be averted. His purposes cannot be amended. In the beginning, God. In the morning and at night, in the beginning, God. In the sunshine and in the rain, in the beginning, God. In victory and in defeat, in the beginning, God. When we're well and when we're sick, when we're rich and when we're poor, the witness is this. In the beginning, God. Powerful purposes were at work in Babylon. And new beginnings. The last book of the Bible that we read from this morning. The last book of the Bible, I mean the end of the creation story, there was a Sabbath. God created the world, and on the seventh day, God rested. The gods of Babylon never rested. They were always too anxious, too much afraid that something was going to happen to thwart their purposes. They were always at work, always anxious, always under stress. But the creation story ends with God rested. And we are invited into that rest. We don't have to be at work all the time. We rest in doxology, in praise, and in affirmation. God holds the world in God's hands. And we are confident. We know that God's purposes for my life and your life and all of our lives, God's purposes cannot be defeated or destroyed. In the beginning, God, life's greatest affirmation. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for your promises and for your witness that our lives are good to be. It's good to be because you created us. Thank you for your gifts and for all the beauty and goodness in your world and in us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.